All right. How's everybody doing? What do we say every time? It's a good day when you're on this side of the dirt. Right? And the Cardinals beat the Cubs all weekend. So it's a really good day. It's a really good day for the children of the Lord. Oh, but man. I'll tell you what. It's been a long week. Amen. Got a couple amens out there. Oh, man. It's been a long week. Oh, and I'm tired. You know? I'm just being honest with you. I am tired. Tired. I got 6 I's, 3 R's, 4 D's in there. Tired. Tired. Oh, man. Because this last week was... It's the end of the month, so it's always a stressful time at my job. Then I feel like I've driven 1.5 miles all week. Amen. You know, with, I know Tommy can relate, what, driving to Florida and back? Woo! No thank you, brother, no thank you. No thank you. You know, with my wife having the epiphany that we needed to go to Branson on Monday with every other 1 million people in the world. Then driving to work and having to go around the world because of all the flooding. You know, my hour and 15 minutes turned into about 2-something multiple times. And then, you know, you get home and there's always something to do around the house. You know, when you got kids, all this rain caused my yard to grow up real tall. And when it gets to a certain length, Kelly starts giving me the look. Like, are you going to do something or do I need to say something? And I knew I saw the look before I saw the before I heard the words, and I knew I needed to get out there. But man, it always seems like there's something, you know. Like I said, it's been a long week. You know, we're always pushing forward because there's always something else that needs to be done. Especially when you have kids, you got a house. People wear you out. But you know, and we're always pushing forward because we always want to be, we don't want to stop, you know? You're pushing forward. No matter how tired you are, you're always pushing forward because there's always something else to do. You know, I have to do it all, and I have to do it all, like my wife says, right now. It all has to be done right now. Oh. And the thing is, you know, we wear exhaustion like a badge. You ever talk to somebody and be like, man, I'm tired. And then they always got to one-up you a little bit. Be like, oh, this such and such happened to me. Oh, I haven't slept in 2 days. Or, you know, it's always one more thing than you. Because we wear exhaustion like a badge. Like it's something good. Like it's something to be proud of, to be that tired. You know, and you start talking to someone, and especially if you get in it with a one-upper, and by the end you haven't slept in 3 months. Your kids are running around. The yard's 7 foot tall. And the air conditioner's broke. Because there's always something. But that's the joys of talking to a one-upper, right? Oh, man. And you know, with all the exhaustion that we have, you know, there's a thing called chronic fatigue syndrome. I learned about that. I looked it up on WebMD. I will tell you right now, don't ever look up anything at WebMD because it'll either happen to you or the end result of whatever you looked up is cancer. I'm telling you, it's always cancer when you look up WebMD. But like I said, I kind of broke my own advice and looked it up. And, you know, it's this disease that's not really a disease, but it is a disease that's afflicting a lot of people where they're just tired all the time. It's a breakdown of your body over time because you're so tired. There's so much exhaustion. Oh, because you know, if you're tired long enough, what does it lead to? It leads to weariness. And weariness, it breaks you down mentally and physically. Anybody been weary? Anybody been weary in their life? Anybody weary right now? I got both hands up on that one after my week. Oh, Man. But the thing is, that weariness, when it begins to break you down mentally and physically, you know the first thing that goes is your joy. It steals your joy. It makes you unhappy. It makes you grumpy.
Yes.
Dealing with people that are tired makes you grumpy. And then you start biting people for no reason.
Yes.
And then you're ugly to folks just because you can.
Yes.
Just because you feel like it. That filter goes away. But see, it breaks you down. It breaks you down. It can break your relationships down.
Yes.
It can break everything that you touch down. And the thing is, no matter how big you are or how big you think you are, there's times in your life where you can and will grow weary. Like I said, some of us have been weary. Some of us are weary right now. Why do we get that way? Because you know life happens. Life comes at you. And it doesn't stop till you're dead. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want that to be for a long time. See, life happens, and it doesn't stop. So what do we do? That is the big question for today. What do we do? The very first thing is to let God be your source of strength.
Amen.
When you've broken down, let God be your source, because you can't do it all on your own. Because I've noticed in my own life, the more I try to do by myself without God, the more times I'm chasing my own tail. And I'm running through things and not getting anywhere. It's like spinning your tires in mud. The more you spin it, you think you're going somewhere, and the more energy you're using, but you're just digging deeper and deeper in the mud. But see, let God be your source of strength. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you are who are weary and carry heavy burdens." That's the first place. Because he says, "And I will give you what? I will give you rest." Hold on to that word, because it's going to be key for a while. Come unto me. He's saying, draw yourself into me. Because that should be your source of strength. In Isaiah 40:29, it says this, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." It means when you don't have the strength to go forward, God has the power to take you farther than where you're at right now. Think about that. In verse 30, it goes on to say, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." So even the young people that are supposed to be real strong, they're going to grow weary. But verse 31 holds the key. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." Think about that. "They that wait upon the Lord shall" what? "Shall renew their strength." It says, "They that wait upon the Lord." It's about people that stop. Slow down. Wherever you're going, slow down. Wait upon the things of the Lord. You know, in one of my favorite verses is Psalms 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Stop. Stop. That's the first key. If you're going to plug into the things of God, you got to stop. Because if you're running around, you're never going to connect with the things that He has for you. He says, stop. "They that wait upon the Lord shall" what? "Renew their strength." They will have a new strength in the New Living Translation. A new strength. A strength beyond what you had, what you thought you had. It's a re-energizing, a new strength. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day." It's renewing your spirit every day. See, because that's the key to not growing weary, is to plug into God, not just today, not just on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, maybe a Wednesday, maybe a Thursday, because you go to the recovery meeting. But it's every single day. That's how you renew yourself, is to plug into God and renew your spirit every day. He's the inward man. It's about building up the inside. And then it goes on to say, going back to Isaiah 40, 29, and actually verse 31. It says, those who trust, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, I've read that 1,000 times in my life, and I'm like, what does that mean? To mount up with wings as eagles. See, in the ancient Hebrew culture, it revered eagles as a mighty warrior, warriors that also cared fiercely for their young. Eagles carry their eaglets, the young, to safety, away from the threats of predators. And eagles are also known for their strength and their courage in dangerous, turbulent weather, soaring above the storms and the clouds. See, that's what an eagle is. So what he's saying here is the phrase mount up is a translation of the Hebrew word Allah, which means to go up, to ascend, to go over a boundary. So what Isaiah is communicating there is when you mount up with wings of eagles, when you put your strength, you get your strength from God, you can rise above all of the stuff that's making you weary. You can rise up and soar over the top of the people you have to deal with, the situations you have to go through. See, that's the thing. The very first key. Get your source. Make your source God. And then, what's another way that we can overcome? It's this. Don't underestimate the power of a nap and a snack. Think about that. Don't underestimate the power of a nap and a snack. I got Kayla over there. Amen to me. Here's what I mean by that. I want to look over at 1 Kings chapter 19. We pick up the story of Elisha. So right before this, right before we're reading, is the story of the of when Elisha took down the prophets of Baal. You know, we know that story where, you know, he called fire down from heaven, and he ended up slaughtering, I think it was 400 or 800 prophets. But anyway, this is taking place right after that. Okay? So we pick up the story, and this is in 1 Kings 19, verse 1. It says, and then Ahab got home. He told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I've not killed you. Just as you had killed them. So he had this big high, and then all of a sudden he gets the message of, this lady's going to kill me. She's swearing by all that she's got, I'm going to be dead by this time tomorrow. So what does Elijah do? He ran. Verse 3, it says, Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life. And he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. So he ran. He got scared. You know, when life comes at you, what do? Don't tuck your tail and run. But unfortunately, this great man of God, he did just that. So in verse 4, it says, then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. In the New Living Translation, it says, He cried out to God. The wording that it uses there says, and he cries out and he says, I have had enough. Have you ever been there? Yeah. When you've had enough? Yeah. I know I've been there. Oh, he says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life for I am no better off than my ancestors who have already died. He said, I've had enough. Let me die. His problem was so large in his own mind that he just wanted to die. He had had enough. I want to die. Whew. I've been there. I can relate to that. You know, you just have so much stuff hitting you all at once. You're just like, take me home, Lord. Take me home. I'm done here. There ain't no good I can do. There ain't no else good I can do. Take me life. Take me now, Lord. I'm coming to see you, Elizabeth. I'm coming to see you. Oh. But verse 5 happens. Then he laid down and slept under the broom tree. He laid down. All the problems are happening, and what happens? Take a nap. Hold on to that. Because we got a nap. The snack's coming. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. So he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down again. Because you know, you're not you when you're hungry. Amen? Hey, Evan, throw that video up there. Come on, brother. A little more. There you go. Hit it.
Marcia, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marcia, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better?
Better.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is.
I love those commercials. You're not you when you're hungry. And you know what? You can't touch God when you're hungry. I feel like you all didn't hear me. You can't touch God. You are not you when you're hungry. When you're tired all the time. You can't touch the things of God because there's that barrier. But what did he do? He ate a Snickers. That's what the guy in the video did. See? A nap and a snack. Never underestimate the spiritual power of a nap and a snack. Because rest is underrated and it's underutilized. Sometimes when you're at your wit's end, I've told my wife this sometimes when she gets beside herself. I said, you need to take a nap? You need to go lay down? We got a common thing going, Millie. Yep, that's the same thing her mama told her. Do you need a nap? See, that's the same thing with the things of God. You know, that's funny, but it's true. When you're going through life, you can get yourself so weary because you don't stop. Because see, it's all great to do all these things, but if you run yourself into the ground in the process, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. See, that's the thing that God's revealed to me. And I'm trying to share with y'all. Is when you plug in into Him, sometimes you just got to be still. Because, like I said right here, going back to Elisha, he laid down and he slept and he ate. And then in verse 8, he got up and ate and drank again. There's a lot of food. And the food gave him enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. So that rest re-energized him to travel 40 days. That's a long time. That's a long time. And, you know, he was going by foot, so imagine all that walking. And see, when he got to the mountain, that's the part in Kings where he meets God face to face in the still, small voice. So think about that. So he rested. He ate so he could see God. Think about that. So like we've been talking, let God be your source. Don't underestimate the power of a nap and a snack. And the last point is this. Ask for help. Think about that. That is the hardest thing. Ask for help from the people around you. Because you can't do it alone. One of my favorite illustrations is this. Even the Lone Ranger had a friend. I always say that, but it's so true. Even the guy that's, his name is the Lone Ranger. I'm all alone. I'm the only ranger. But I got my friend by my side. I got Tonto. See, don't be ashamed to ask for help. Because we need each other. We need each other. In Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What he's saying there is bear each other's burdens. It's talking about physically, their physical burdens, not just their spiritual burdens. But the wording here in the Greek is talking about a physical burden. When you've got a hard way to go, a load is easier to bear when there's more than one person. When you get two, you get three. If you're having a problem, grab four people. Say, "Can you pray with me for this? Can you pray with me and believe for this?" Because then it's not my burden. It's not me being weary. It's our burden that we carry together. Sometimes you got to take a load off. And a real friend will say, "Put the load right on me." In Romans 15:1, it says, "We who are strong must be we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. We should help each other do what is right and build them up in the Lord." Helping each other. It's the only way we're going to get through this. Because you may be going through something today that I'm not, but I can help you bear it. The next week, you can help me. Because that is what family does. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." You know, if we're going to call each other family, we got to act like family. Because I don't know about y'all, but when someone comes to my family, we're going to bind up and we're going to fight together, not fight each other. Because that's the worst type of family, is one that fights each other and not fights with each other. See, that's the things. That's why I want to encourage you guys. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, no matter how weary you may be in the things of life, plug into God. Stop for a minute. Rest. And when you really need help, don't be afraid to ask. Thank you.
I like the third and final point of that message, which was to not be afraid to ask for help. And I've just wondered tonight, and we'll take just a moment. We don't do this every service, but if you need help tonight, I want you to come and spend a moment at the altar. Talk to the Lord for a moment. And if everybody's good, then everybody's good. That's not a problem. But if you need to spend a moment at the altar, just you and the Lord, take a step of faith. Come to the altar. Talk to God. Lord, help folks to know if they're really weary. Know if they really need help. Cause people to find their way to the altar. And help them here. Help them, God. I lose the power of the cross in this place. Somebody here may need Jesus in their heart. Somebody here may need a replenishing, a rejuvenation of the things of God. You just come and take a moment. Be refreshed at the altar of the living God. And if you're good, you're just good. There's nothing wrong with that. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you weary tonight? Come to the altar of God. Have a moment at the altar. Are you good? We'll just pray for another moment, because in just a few moments, this service will be over. Is there anything else tonight that needs to be done? Anybody have something that you want to say? Dismiss you to the presence of God tonight. If you would lift up your hands and just receive this blessing tonight. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace like a river. And may you not be overcome by the river. In Jesus' name, amen.